You're listening to the podcast of Eucharist Church in San Francisco, a community of faith seeking to live all of life in reference to Christ. Join us now for this week's message.
You may be seated. As we begin this morning to look more deeply into the scriptures, let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, we pray your goodness would shine over us this morning, that you would open our eyes and ears and hearts to receive what your word says, and that as we see your word, as we see Christ, would you conform us to his image from one degree of glory to the next. We ask it in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think it's very easy for us to get scripture wrong. And that's not just because it was written in multiple different languages over the course of 1,000 years in a dramatically different culture and context and was finished being written about 2,000 years ago. None of that helps us to get it very right, of course. But it's easy for us to get the Bible wrong because we bring so much with us to the pages of Scripture. As finite embodied creatures situated in time and place, we can't help but bring our unique backgrounds, perspectives, fears, interests, limitations, and misunderstandings with us. And history is littered with examples of people getting scripture wrong and missing the point of the Christian life along the way. For example, Notre Dame historian Mark Knoll writes that the American Civil War was actually a theological crisis. On the one hand, you had pro-slavery apologists who believed that the Bible sanctioned slavery. The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. On the other hand, of course, you had abolitionists that argued that Jesus came to set the captives free. And the debate over biblical interpretation wouldn't be won until 750,000 corpses later. It's so easy for us to get scripture wrong because in our brokenness, we're so tempted to cram it into the mold we want it to fit. Both in history and today, people use the Bible to justify just about anything. Whether it's a political platform, an economic paradigm, or a social agenda, we put the Bible in the service of all kinds of earthly causes. And we do that rather than allow it to be what it truly is. And many people today, many people around us, have lost faith in the very possibility of our coming to know God through Scripture at all because of the way the Bible has been mishandled, misused, and abused in the service of earthly agendas, especially in the last 2 centuries. So we get scripture wrong because we miss the point. The point of the scripture is not to accomplish tangible results in this world, whether those be military, social, economic, or political. The point of scripture is not an earthly orientation at all. Scripture doesn't point down at the earth. It points up at the heavens. Scripture certainly is of the earth, in a sense. It was written by flawed people, in human languages, in earthly time and space. It didn't just drop out of the sky one day with angels singing, oh. But we inevitably get scripture wrong when we point it at the earth and try to use it to produce something that we can see and control. Scripture isn't pointed at earthly things at all. Scripture is pointed at Christ. And we learn that in the last 2 verses of our gospel reading this morning from John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. It says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." Now, I would argue that while people have always gotten scripture wrong in one way or another, the modern world, the world in which we live, has been one in which the getting wrong of scripture has multiplied exponentially. Take the Civil War as case in point. Why is that? Why is it that modern people are especially prone to get the scripture wrong? This is an important question for all of us being modern people. Well, let me take a moment to offer something of an explanation. In our first 9 years of marriage, Kathy and I lived in 8 different homes. If you have young children and want to know how to make your closet into a nursery, or would like to understand how many children you really can fit into one bedroom to sleep, I'm your guy. Now, one of those 8 places that we lived in our first 9 years of marriage was the bottom floor of a duplex that had 3 bedrooms, extremely reasonable rent, and maybe 8-foot ceilings, maybe. It was probably more like 7.5. And when you live in an apartment that's that vertically challenged, when all you have to do is wave your hand in the air to touch the ceiling, well, your whole life begins to take on a sort of a stoop. Everything becomes a little bit smaller, a little bit more cramped, a little bit closer to the ground. Everything begins to take on a stoop, especially if you're 6'2" like me. Now, when the modern era dawned in the West several hundred years ago, it was kind of like the whole Western world had moved from the great outdoors with no ceiling except the heavens above into the bottom floor of a duplex with ceilings that were far too low. There was a collective vision in an earlier time and a focus on ultimate questions. What's the meaning of life? What is truth and how can we know it? How can we belong to each other? How can I know and be reconciled to God? It was a normal thing to have a vision for heavenly things. But with the dawn of the modern world, that changed completely. We lost our collective confidence in whether or not we could meaningfully answer those kinds of ultimate questions. Our focus changed from heaven to only that which is on earth. We moved from outdoors to a stoop-inducing apartment. Now, as much scientific and technological progress has been made in the last several centuries, and don't get me wrong, I love cappuccino, streaming video, penicillin, most Apple products. But as much progress as we've made in the last several centuries, the soul of our culture has taken on a sort of stoop. The focus of our collective imagination turned from heaven and the transcendent realities that give life meaning to that which is strictly seeable, hearable, smellable, tasteable, and touchable. And as we began to forget the stories and possibilities that made living life in this world wonderful, we slowly shifted our focus to what the senses could perceive and our power could control. In other words, we all began to stoop. Several centuries into that modern experiment, our collective soul has been diminished in a number of ways. We find it difficult to believe in the possibility of things like kindness, altruism, and selfless love. Tragedies like mass shootings in a school become so frequent that they barely register on the Richter scale of current events. We're sure that everybody around us has an angle, even our family and friends around us. And we end up hunched over in a world where nobody is looking out for me. And so the only thing that makes sense for me to do is to look out for number one. And if you take a civilization's worth of hunched over people who've lost faith in the possibility of transcendent meaning or of just simple plain goodness, and then hand them a Bible, what are they going to do with it? Well, it's not long. It's not long before the Bible becomes a weapon, wielded in the hands of those who seek and cling to power and use it to control, manipulate, and abuse others. We get scripture wrong because we miss the point. We miss the point because we can't even imagine what the point is. We live in a world in which meaning and transcendence and the pursuit of beauty and joy is constantly being beaten out of us. And sometimes it's being beaten out of us with the Bible. We get scripture wrong because we miss the point. And because we miss the point, our faith is impoverished. It's impoverished because it's always pointing downward, down at the earth, trying to fix this worldly things for a this worldly culture that doesn't have any meaning that stretches beyond the this worldly, because the very idea of the not this worldly is beyond our wildest imaginations. That almost exclusive focus on this world and the things of this world amounts to a secular Christianity that has come to dominate the American church, especially in the last 60 years. I told some of y'all I was going to get mad today. Here I am. Scripture wasn't given to us by God to give us the means to cling to power or solve the problems of this earth. But we so often treat it as if it were, because our souls have been hunched over by the two low ceilings of the modern world, a modern world that's been making us stoop and turn in on ourselves for centuries. Friends, we need to be set free of our cynicism and our inability to imagine anything beyond the here and now. We need to stop missing the point of Scripture. We need to let the Word of God show us the way to God, the Word, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, so that by believing we may have life in His name. See, life doesn't come from the world or the things of the world. No, life comes from Christ. Christ who is the life. Christ who died and rose and gives life to all who call upon his name. In the pages of Scripture, we don't find a science textbook, a political program, or a self-help program that gives you a path to a better you. No, in the pages of Scripture, we find Jesus Christ himself. He is the Word who was with God in the beginning, the Word who is God, the Word through whom all things were made, the Word in whom is life, that life which is the light of all humanity. Now, in his earthly ministry, when Jesus was confronted with powerful religious authorities, who tried to tame the Bible and turn it into a book about their own power and privilege, Jesus' response was bold, frank, and it pulled no punches. In St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus said to the Sadducees, those who dominated the temple in his day, "Is this not the reason you are wrong?" It's like, straight up. "Is this not the reason you are wrong? That you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God?" That sentence could describe the whole modern world, a world where people know neither the scriptures nor the infinite possibilities of the power of God. It is a precious and uncommon thing to read God's word and find the word, Jesus Christ. Finding Christ in the scriptures is tantamount to finding a treasure buried in a field, a treasure that you would gladly sell all that you purchase and possess in order to have it. Because in finding Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in him, this scripture tells us that we receive life in his name. Maybe that's not how you feel when you crack open the Bible. Maybe you don't crack open a Bible very often for that very reason. Maybe you stopped cracking open your Bible regularly because you think you don't understand it very well, or you don't see how it applies very much to your life. But friends, let me encourage you by saying that the point of reading Scripture is not to find solutions to your everyday problems. It's not to grow your intellectual capacity, It's not to prove to me or to anybody else in church leadership that you are, in fact, a good Christian. Yesterday, we were doing an outreach in the Tenderloin, and I met several people while wearing a collar who were like assuring me that they read their Bible every day. And I was like, cool, that's great. Because apparently when you see someone with a collar on, that's what you want to do. Just assure them that you're reading your Bible. But that's not the point of reading Scripture. The point of reading Scripture is simply this. It's communion with God in Christ. It's communion with Christ. The point is to grow in faith in the Lord Jesus. And in believing, come to share more and more fully in his very own life. He is, after all, the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life, the one who died and having died, defeated death once for all so that we would never have to taste death. We may have to go through a bit of its aftertaste when the normal course of our life is at its end and our bodies begin to break down. But by faith, we taste not death, but life, because we taste Christ. And in a few moments, that's what we're going to get ready to do. We're going to get ready to taste Christ at his table. We'll taste him in the bread and the wine, his body broken and blood poured out for us. And when we do, we will taste life. Scripture is not a tool to be used for our earthly agendas. It is a sacramental means of finding and participating in the very life of God himself as it has been given to us in the Lord Jesus. May we come today, having heard his word and believing in him, find life in his name. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Eucharist podcast. For more information, visit our website at eucharistsf.org.